Now we're going to look at the gospel, which is a whole other instance of generosity, much like the text that we read at the beginning, where when Joshua wanted to stop all these people, and Moses said, "Leave them alone. I wish everybody could prophesy." Well, this one is kind of like that. John comes up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow us." Control. He's now part of our club. And John getting a little nervous about that. It's very interesting, isn't it? You know what Jesus said? "Oh, run out and stop him." Is that what Jesus said? No. He said, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me." Give him a break. You know, if he's using my name and driving out demons, we have a lovely, funny story in Acts, though. You remember when these seven sons of Sceva, I think it was, and they're all trying to get the demon out of this girl who's, you know, well, she's either possessed or at least she needs a deliverer. She needs something for sure. And so, "In the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches," and the demons say, "Jesus we know about. Paul we heard of, but who are you?" And they beat him up. And all these erstwhile exorcists ran away. Yeah. You know, you can't just invoke it, you know. Be a big shot on your own. And if you try it with this sort of thing, you could get in a lot of trouble. But all of it, people who try to make a profit from religion are in a lot of trouble. And so you see, "We saw someone driving out demons in your name." They're doing the right thing, you see. As those guys were there, was that Ephesus, I think it was, where Paul, they turned around. And then this guy beat them all up because the demons were in them and made them very strong, you know. And don't try that anymore. Okay. "We tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow us." Jesus, don't prevent him. "There's no one who performs a mighty work in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me." Give him a little break. See what he does now. He might get enthused about this and join us. You know, give him a break. Okay. "For whoever is not against us is for us." That's most of the time you hear, if you're not for me, you're against me. Jesus is saying, leave him alone. If he's not openly opposing us and trying to deflect our ministry, then he's with us. Not 100% maybe, but he's with us. You see the same generosity in Jesus that you saw in Moses. Don't stop them. You see, they might be in the camp, they should be outside, but the Lord gave them the gift of prophecy, so leave them alone. We're not like that. We've got the rules and regulations. Well, we need rules and regulations. I'm not against them. I mean, a lot anyway, I'm not against them. But it's this, leave them alone, you see. "For whoever is not against us is for us." Now the thing spreads. "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward." I remember once I was working in a soup kitchen. And, you know, soup kitchens, and most of the guys there are down and out for one reason or another. A lot of them, actually, you see, they're somewhat retarded. So the only thing they can offer society is their back. So they work physically their whole life long. Then they get old. Nobody wants them. They have no retirement plan. They have no social security. They have nothing. And now, sorry, you're too old. You don't work hard enough or fast enough. So here's a buck. Get yourself a cup of coffee. And so those are a lot, the people who come, huh? This man came to me one day as I was dishing out the food. He said, "Father, I'm a drunk. I'll probably always be a drunk. But I want to know one thing. I said, yes. How can I give a good example down here in Skid Row? Can you imagine? The Lord must have been thrilled, you know. How many people in great health, great education, great everything, how often do they think about giving a good example in the office or at the stock market? Or here's this down and outer. He's already over the hump. Nobody's going to hire him for manual labor. So he's out of work. And okay. So I said to him, are you generous with what you got? He says, yeah. I said, do you ever roll anybody for get money from them? You know, a guy's drunk, you just turn him over, take his money in. He said, no. I said, then you're doing all right. You're doing all right. Just keep that up, and you will be a good example down here. Isn't that, I was very edified by that man. Instead of being angry at the rich, he was worried about giving a good example among the people he lives with. And saying, look, I'm a drunk. I'll probably always be a drunk, okay? Now, our Lord moves on another step. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. How about the people who teach sex in second grade? And get these little kids, you know, and deflect them and ruin a chance for a chaste life. Do you understand? Or how about these women on these pornographic things on television? The Lord said, remember, a man who looks on a woman and lusts after her already sins. That means they're making these guys sin. And they're going to be held responsible. It's frightening to think. And see, whoever causes one of these little ones, however little, maybe one of these guys on Skid Row who, you know, is tempted or talked into stealing first time in his life or something, that's a sin. And you're moving him into it. Or these television shows, you see? And you're moving people into it. Or as I say, some of the ways that sex education and early grades of grammar school is inciting people, these little kids, you know, to sin in regard to sexuality, not even knowing what sex is yet. That twists them. And people think that's liberation. You don't have to be a fanatical Christian. You just have to be intelligent to see that you're ruining a personality. So that's what he's saying. Now, he moves another step, and it gets radical. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. What's he saying? Cut your hand off? No. There was a fellow, he kicked his father down the stairs, and he went to confession to St. Anthony of Padua. And Anthony said, the foot that kicked that father down the stairs should be cut off. Italian, you know, carried away. Though he's a saint. Well, the guy went and cut his foot off. So Anthony said, oh, he ran, he picked up the foot and he prayed, oh Lord, have mercy on me, this poor man. And the guard healed his foot and put it back on. You got to watch what you tell people. You see? So this is what he's saying. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, if you can't stop sinning, better that, but you can. You see? Better if you'd enter life maimed with two hands than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. Now our Lord goes through, if your foot causes you, cut it off. That's what Anthony told this guy. In the wrong situation. Better to enter into the life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into Gehenna. He means, look, it's radical to stay away from sin. It's radical. You have to. Not only for your own sake, but for the sake of your neighbor. I think sometimes of these young women in these pornographic things, the weight of guilt that they are accumulating, making all these men sin. If they weren't so stupid, they'd all be going to hell. But because they're stupid, God may have mercy on them. But they are sinning in a very vile way. And they think it's great, making money. Not only that, but what have they done to their own persons? They are an image of God, body and soul. And look what they're doing to it. For money. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What is our Lord saying? You know, like, don't go pluck it out. Exactly. But do something. Be radical. For that one, your eye is causing you to sin because of the TV, turn it off and throw it out, not your eye. You'd be in better shape. As I've told you 100 times, I guess, by now. I threw my own, well, I didn't throw it out. I put it in the cupboard. Thinking, I said one day, this is degrading. It wasn't anything on the TV that was immoral. It was just the whole wasting time. So I put it in the closet. I said, well, if there's anything I want to really watch, I'll go get it and hook it up again and watch. Well, after a year, there was never any occasion when the thing was worth the trouble of taking out of the closet and plugging in again. Nothing was worth that trouble on the whole television. So then a young woman came along who was divorced, and she had little kids, and she wanted something so she could play those Disney cartoon things and keep the kids quiet. I said, take it. Take it. You see? So it wasn't my eye I plucked out. It was my TV. And it was, so I didn't waste any more time with the thing. I wasn't looking at pornography or anything. It's just the run-of-the-mill stuff. It's so awful. And so I threw it out. Gave it away. Okay. Better to go with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into Gehenna. And then there's this quote of, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. There is such a place. There is a hell. And it is eternal. Von Balthasar tried to fix that up, but nobody's going to go along with them. There is a hell. And people go there. Not only do we have to be careful, because we're all so fragile, but we have to help other people be careful, especially the young. Especially the young. Help them. Help them to have big ideals. I watch some of these homeschool families, you know I like them. But anyway, and the kids, they're helping each other. They're, you know, they're not saints. They're not going to go straight to heaven. Well, maybe they are. But they're not. But they're growing up to be real, attractive human beings. Because goodness is attractive. And they're learning from the Holy Spirit through their parents how to be a human being. Sometimes I see a group of them together and they're cooperating. Nobody's arguing. They're playing a game. Nobody's saying you're safe, you're out. It was, you know, I mean, they're normal. But and I say to myself, is there really an original sin? Has everybody got this sin? I mean, they don't look like they got much of a sin. They do. But they don't look like it compared to the kids in some of these public schools. So you see, this is a warning. There is sin and there is punishment. But watch yourself, but not only yourself. Watch your neighbor. Watch your family. Don't let people get addicted to evil. It could destroy them for eternity. Turn them. Let them be on a path so that you look at their face and see that joy, that optimism come back, and you can thank God you took this advice and help people cut off the things that were bringing them to death. Amen.